This morning we want to look at Psalm 90 one more time. As we've been looking at Psalm 90 through the Advent season, we come this morning to the last section, verses 13 through 17. And again, let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us and to teach us as we turn to his word. Father, we do pause at the beginning of our study of your word. We are thankful that you are a God who answers prayer and that you are answering our prayer to be with us in this worship service and to receive this worship and to hear our prayers and to be merciful toward us. We pray now and ask that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will, that you would grant to us spiritual wisdom and understanding. We want this so that we'll be able to walk in a manner that is worthy of you. We want to fully please you. We want to bear fruit in every good work. We want to increase in our knowledge of who you are. We want to be strengthened with all power according to your glorious might. We want to endure, to persevere, to have patience, and we want to rejoice, always giving thanks to you for your great work in our lives. And so send us now your Spirit to guide us into your word. Help us to look at your word. Help me to unfold your word in such a way that we can understand exactly what it is that you were saying to the church this morning. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 90, Moses is the author. It's not David as usual, but Moses. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God, and he's praying for wisdom. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And Moses himself is doing the math. He is numbering his days, 70 years, 80 years. It's all gone by so quickly, and so much of it has been hard, full of toil and trouble. And he's obviously thinking now about how much time he's got left. He knows that our days can be numbered. Nobody has an unlimited supply of days. I don't, you don't. One day our allotted supply of days will run out and our years will come to an end. And so Moses turns to God and he prays for wisdom. And he begins his prayer by celebrating something that will never end and something that will never change, and that is God. And the very character of God, God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses then thinks of himself. Along with you and me and all of humanity, we're all so frail and fragile and so quickly being swept away. Verse 3, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. And Moses says there's a reason for all of this. It's not that God did such a poor job of creating us and giving us life. The problem is ours. We've turned our backs on God and have chosen to go our own way. Verse 7, for we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Moses is saying, God, you have every right to be angry with us, to be angry with me, with the whole human race, because we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We have not been the people that you have created us to be. And so, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then Moses prays, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Verse 12, deliver us by giving to us this gift of wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now don't miss the fact that Moses is praying from a platform of faith. Moses has the courage to admit and to say everything that he says here about time running out and death's approaching hour and God's anger, because he has already found a refuge in God himself and in God's gracious character. Verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. It's out of that assurance and that conviction that Moses is able to say all of these hard things about how frail and fragile life is. Now, what better way for you and for me to end this year and to begin another one? To know who God is, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, and then to know our own weakness and frailty, that we are but dust, we are just like dry, withering grass, and to know that our failures, our sin, our sinfulness is all something that has brought God's anger, but then to know that God has a way out. And that we've experienced that way out, the way of wisdom, the way of the gospel, to find in God himself a hiding place, a resting place, a safe place, a dwelling place. As the Apostle Paul will later explain it, to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What better way to close out 2020 and to enter into 2021? But Moses wants everything that God has for us. He knows that God is his dwelling place, and he knows that God is able and is willing and is going to guide him forward. But Moses wants all of God's grace that is going to be needed in the days to come. And that brings us to verse 13. Return, O Lord. How long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let's make this prayer our prayer for this new year. You and I need to pray for mercy. Verse 13 again, "Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants." Now, for the first time in this psalm, Moses now uses God's personal name. He began this prayer by calling God Lord, Adonai, Master, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And he has called God, God, that is the Almighty One, the Omnipotent One, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. But here in verse 13, for the first time, he now calls God by his personal covenant name, Yahweh, Lord. In your English translations, it's usually, I think almost always, printed with capital letters, L-O-R-D, to distinguish it from the Lord that you see in verse 1. Same person, but different name, Yahweh. And what Moses is doing here, he's not standing back in awe of this Lord, of all that God is, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, the Holy One of Israel, the one who is angry over our sin. What he is doing at this point is he's drawing close to a Father who is full of pity and mercy and compassion, ready to show mercy for poor, fumbling, sinful children like you and me. And so he calls out, "Return, O Lord. Have pity on your servants." Now, in the Old Testament, this Hebrew name is pronounced Yahweh. Sometimes it's put as Jehovah. It's the same name, just arranging the letters differently because they didn't know exactly how it's pronounced. There's no doubt how it's pronounced in the New Testament. It's pronounced like this: Our Father who art in heaven, or Our God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the name that God uses to bind himself to us in faithful love. And what you and I need from this God is mercy. Have compassion, have pity, be sorry for us. We're in bad shape, wounded, broken, miserable, confused, hopeless because of our sin. I mean, just think of all the damage that sin has done in this past year. Abortion, racism, violence, misunderstandings, divisions, anger over things as silly as having to wear a mask, political corruption, media manipulation, fears, cynicism. Mercy is what we need, personally, as families, as a church, as a nation, as we launch into this next year. Pray for God's mercy. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. At the same time, you and I need to pray for joy. Verses 14 and 15, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil." Moses is now asking God to do something new and to do something positive. Not just forgive our sin, don't just remove the things that are making life miserable, but satisfy us, fill us, give us something good. Fill us with every good thing and a deep sense of your love for us. Don't just wipe away our tears. Fill us with joy. Give us something that we can truly be glad about in the days to come. Well, what's there to be glad about? Things still look pretty bad here at the end of the year. And you and I have certainly been afflicted and seen evil at work this past year. People getting cancer, getting sick, growing old, dying. A baby just over 1 month old, dying. We know all too well what it means to be dust, like dry, withering grass, here today, but not so sure that we and our loved ones are going to be here tomorrow. People losing jobs, struggling to keep their shops open, a country that has gone absolutely crazy. Politicians who have divided us instead of uniting us. In 1864, in the middle of the Civil War, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow tried to express his grief over this country and how we were all fighting against one another, even on a Christmas day. It's a longer poem, but part of the poem, he puts it this way. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But you and I know that God's not dead. God is alive. He's on the move. God's kingdom is still being carried forward by his good and gracious providence. And I think that Longfellow knew this. And so he added one last line about when he heard the Christmas bells ringing. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Isaac Watts knew the same thing, and he wrote this hymn, Joy to the World. And he just has that simple line, no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Everywhere where you have seen the curse against sin this past year, God's in the business of changing that and creating great joy in your heart. Now, after a year like 2020, don't we need a little peace and joy in our lives? Peace and joy. But don't just sit there and wait for it to come to you. Don't wait for things to change for the better. Here and now, choose joy. Pray for joy. Pray as Moses prays here. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. And then you and I need to pray for a sense of purpose. So many people right now feel lost, adrift, uncertain, no sense what to do. Some of this has come about from social distancing that we've had to engage in, with the frustration and the isolation that comes from that. And some of it has been forced upon us by the various shutdowns. Many of us have been left with this lingering sense of, you know, does anybody know what's going on? Does anybody have an answer? What are we supposed to do? And it becomes too easy to lose all sense of direction and purpose when you don't know if anybody else knows where are we going? It's too easy to get lost and lose your sense of direction and purpose. And I think that Moses must have felt something just like this. And I wonder if Moses did not pray and write this prayer at that point in his life, with 40 years of wilderness wanderings behind him, when he stood on Mount Nebo and he was looking from a distance into the promised land and knowing that he is not going to be allowed to go in, but knowing also that others that he knew, his family, his friends, his church, the people of Israel, were going to go in. All of these people that he had led out of the land of slavery and through the wilderness, and perhaps he is thinking, what is going to happen now? There's still a whole lot of work to be done. Align yourself now with Joshua. Cross the Jordan, defeat Jericho, divide up the land, settle the land, build homes, raise children, build a place for worship, take up your vocations and make a new life for yourself in this land that is flowing with milk and honey. And perhaps seeing all of this and all that still needed to be done, Moses prays just as Jesus would teach us to pray later, "Thy kingdom come." And so verse 16 and 17, "Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. There is work for all of us to do. You and I are called to be God's people in the midst of a hostile world. Regardless of what's going on in our culture, our country, the world, we are called to be God's people. We're called to claim this community for Christ. We are called to be lights in a dark world, that by our good behavior we would point other people to our Father in heaven, and that they too would come and through Christ would enjoy the mercy and the peace that we have experienced. And so set aside some time this week. You've only got a few days left to this year, this last week of 2020. Set aside some time and give some serious thought about what God would have you do in 2021. Don't just drift into the next year. Don't just drift along in life, allowing somebody else to set the agenda for you. Don't let circumstances discourage you. Find some ministry. Find some purpose that you can engage in to serve others, to care for those who are in need, to embrace them, to help lead them into the goodness of God's kingdom, to help lead them to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can find new life and freedom. Pray as Moses leads us in prayer here. Establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let us pray. Father, we do make this our prayer. As we look forward to what is simply a different number on our calendars, but we call it a new year. It's a time of thinking of where we are in life. Help us to reflect upon all that Moses has talked about in this psalm, but help us to continue to pray as he does. Be merciful to us. Be merciful to our country. Be merciful to our covenant children, our families, our loved ones, our church. And we ask that you would fill us with great joy. Give us that deep sense of peace and make us glad as we think of you as our great God, our dwelling place, and the security that we have in you. And then give us real clarity as we think about our purpose, what we are called to do as a church, but what each one of us is called to do as members of the church, as followers of Jesus Christ. How can we personally best help to advance the kingdom by your grace and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit? And we pray this for the good of the kingdom and in Christ's name. Amen.